Hi everyone, welcome to Training with Casey, where we explore animal training and living our best lives with animals. I'm Joseph Laughlin, producer of this podcast, and now, here's your host, Casey Covert. Let's get started.
Boy oh boy, I cannot wait to hear what else Casey has to offer for advice for litter training.
Pee pads?
Yeah, and what about if you went to, if you got a kennel crate, a crate pan for a dog kennel, get a nice size crate pan. It's plastic. It's got a little lip, and you can put the pee pad right in there. And guess what else you can put in? You can spray it with some Nature's Miracle or Simple Solution. These are enzymes that neutralize the urine. They are amazing. You're looking kind of quizzical. You need to have a bunch of that in your house. So you buy the biggest container they sell, and it's got a little sprayer on it that you can put batteries in and so forth. And then you buy the smaller, cheaper containers to refill it with.
Okay.
And you might want to have, well, it's got batteries in it, so you can't just leave it out in the rain. But you're going to want to have them wherever you need to take care of dog stuff. And that makes all the difference because, in my experience, you can take something like a saturated mattress or a saturated blanket. It's saturated with urine. What I'll do is I'll take the mattress or the pillow or whatever outside, soak it with a hose, flip it over, soak the other side, and then I will saturate it with this enzyme solution. Flip it over, saturate it again, and then you just let it dry. And when it dries, the enzymes are working on it and they will get rid of the odor. You don't want to add any soaps or any extreme heat or anything. That would be because it's an enzyme, and an enzyme is a protein, and those things will denature the protein, and then you'll be working against yourself. So for your latrine inside, you get a good size kennel pan, get the right size of doggy pads to go in it, get yourself another little thing, you know, something like a little tiny play traffic cone or something that can be a place for your dog to aim at in the middle of the thing, not on the edges. You don't want him peeing on the edges. You want to go straight in and do that. Now, you could even put around the edges a little towel that you moisten and put a little bit of that enzyme on. So when your dog walks off of it, he walks over the towels that are moistened with enzyme.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so now, how do you teach a dog to use this stuff? You're going to laugh. This is funny, and it's amazingly effective. Do you know what
intermediate bridge?
Yes, you will use, and you will use name and explain, but you're going to use something called cognitive dissonance to do a lot of the work for you. And here, this is exactly what I do. So when I'm first starting, like with a puppy or something, I'm going to know that that puppy has to go out frequently. And I'm going to make it my business to get that dog outside before he's in an emergency, because he hasn't learned to be conscious of that yet. And especially like 15 minutes after he eats, every time he has been playing for a while or had any excitement, out the door we go. What do we do when we go out the door? He's on a lead. I walk him straight over to the latrine. And I name it. I never liked the word potty. So I name it croc, as in a crock of. So I say to the dog, okay, we're going to go croc. And as we're walking, I tell him, I repeat it, we're going to Croc. When he gets there, as he's urinating or defecating, I say, that's Croc. You're crocking right now. That's crocking. When he produces urine or feces, I name those as Croc. So we've got the action of going there, the action of producing the stuff, the product itself. And I think there's one more thing. Let me check it out here.
So you're using name and explain at this moment.
Yeah. So I wrote a little thing on it, and I'll share it with you, and we can share it with the people on the that come to the podcast too. So I say here, this was a letter to somebody. I agree that with the idea that the diet, stress, and age are important issues. In addition, I find that every dog I have dealt with on this issue so far resolved in 4 days just by my naming things. I name 4 things all with the same word. Whatever word you want, I don't care what word you use. To cue, I use one word to cue urination and defecation. And I remember this dog that was blind and deaf. And we use the word croc. I name the act of urinating or defecating, the product, and the location. So you're going to pick one word, and that one word is going to be the act of going to this location, the location itself, the act of urinating or defecating, and the product of urination and defecation. Here's where the cognitive dissonance comes in. What is the only time that all of those things can truly be the same thing?
During name and explain?
Well, when they're all in the same place.
Oh, okay.
So now that you've named all this and you make a big idea, it all happens right here in this latrine. This latrine, it's croc, and you croc here, and here is the croc, and going here is the croc. Now, when you find an error someplace else, I pick it up and I look with amazement at the dog and I say, this is not croc. This isn't croc. It's supposed to be croc. So I take the dog and we ceremoniously take it out to the croc place. We deposit it there and I say, this is croc. This is good. Meanwhile, I'm still trying to get that dog out frequently, but I'm letting the cognitive dissonance work in the dog's mind. Does it seem outrageous that that would work?
I think it seems like a brilliant idea that you came up with this, Casey, to help people like myself.
Well, test it. Let's do another follow-up and see how well he does on it. So once you've got your inside and outside latrine, then you're going to use the same training on both of them. So you can say to the dog, we've got 2 croc areas. Do you want to go inside? Do you want to go outside? Now, let me tell you what else. If you ever have to have somebody stay with your dog or pet sit for you, it's going to be a lot easier on everyone if you've got an indoor latrine for your dog.
Right.
There are other things that you can do to make an indoor latrine nicer than it might be because it's going to smell like urine. But if you get those, you know, if you change the little liners frequently, it can be very good. And I know a lot of professionals that have small dogs, especially if they live in the city, that they do this all the time. They really rely on it. Can you imagine having a little dachshund or a little poodle in New York City in a high rise?
Oh my gosh, that would be hard.
It would be very hard. But remember from the evacuation podcast we did, I have a colleague friend that lived in the top of a high rise and she had 2 dogs.
Yes, I remember you were talking about her and 9/11 and all that.
Now, how about this? What if you lived on a boat? What are you going to do? What if you're a person that has a service dog and you have to ride in a train for a long amount of time or on a bus or something like that? You know, even when you're traveling with a service dog in an airport, they have specific places where you can go to relieve your dog. Your dog needs to have that skill ahead of time. You can't do it. You cannot take your dog out of a travel crate and take him into a busy airport, into some area that smells like a lot of strange dogs and who knows what else, and expect him to use the facilities there if he hasn't been trained. Okay, so what are the four husbandry things we talked about?
We talked about the latrine.
Okay. Schedule.
Schedule.
We've got two latrines. What are the four things that we're going to name the same thing?
Crock.
Yeah, and I use crock. You could use potty or bathroom or litter or whatever you want. And the four things are going to be traveling to the spot, the name of the location or the spot that is the latrine, the act of urination and defecation, and the product of urination and defecation. And then we had four biologicals that might be helpful. So Angelica Archangelia, dang it, would you just check real quick and see, type that in with dog after it. Angelica with dog.
Angelica with dog. I'll type that in.
Yeah, and make sure, because I know they use it extensively with people, and I haven't checked it for dogs yet. So I don't want to waste people's energy to remember it if it doesn't work for dogs. The horsetail reed tea works for dogs, cats, and people, but it's very toxic to horses.
I forget. What is it?
Angelica Archangelia. Okay, now I'm going to look.
Yes, dogs can eat it.
Okay, great. So there you go. And the next one was D. Manos, and the last one was horsetail reed tea. For me, it's always corrected in 3-4 days at the outset. I never even had to get after the dog or anything else. If I find any mistake, take the dog to it. This is not crock. Correct it manually and have a big celebration at the place. Dog seems relieved, like, well, thank God we fixed that. I actually have a story about it with my horse. So at the University of Maryland, we litter trained our horse. That was for our horse project. And it worked really well. Man, it saved so much time. It saved so much bedding. So when I got my horse, Sarah, she lived out in a field, but I knew that she might need it someday, just like your dog might need to go on a pad inside the house. So I taught her. Well, in 2003, Isabel Hurricane came through here. And we had to evacuate. And we were at Colonial Downs Stables. And they use sawdust. And they sell the sawdust from the horses to mushroom farms. So they would not allow us to bring any straw in that we brought from home as bedding for our horses. Everybody got one bale of sawdust to use. Well, I don't know if you know about how big a horse is and how big a bale of sawdust is, but it was not going to be very...
It doesn't sound like it's very easy.
Yeah, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a surgery site, right?
Because the horse is like...
Like, what? So what I did is I put the sawdust on the kind of the uphill side of everything. And then I told her, that in her case, it was going to be the far left corner of her stall as she went in the door. So I named it Croc, and I backed her into it and named that Croc. And there were, within 15 minutes, she produced three Croc piles, and two were correct and one wasn't correct. So I looked at her with amazement. I go, this is not Croc. I pick it up and I go put it in the pile and I go, now it's Croc. So she looks at me like, yeah, you humans are really something. So I go to help more horses that are arriving and they need to be unloaded and get their shavings, bales, and all this kind of stuff. I come back and there's three more piles. Two were correct and one was incorrect. This is not Croc. And I moved it back to the correct place. She did not make another mistake the entire 3 or 4 days that we were there. And she was the only horse that was dry, because when she went to sleep at night, she was not sleeping in a wet place that was saturated with urine. She was sleeping in the one little pile of sawdust, and we kept all the litter stuff separated. Now she's 31 years old and she still does it that way.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, amazing, and saves a lot of time and effort. And you know, when you're in a situation like an evacuation for a hurricane, everybody feels dirty. You can't shower. You can't, you know, gosh, everything is just so restricted and more challenging and everything else. I think emotionally, it really helps an animal to not be covered with urine.
Right.
Even if it's not fatal.
I hope to never have to go through anything like that.
Yeah. But if
I never want to experience a hurricane, I am fine here in California.
Oh, I don't know what you're feeling so comfortable about, because you're in an equal opportunity emergency state. You can have earthquakes, you can have mudslides, you can have forest fires, you can have floods. I grew up in
California. I can handle all that. I can't handle hurricanes.
So you'll learn, because if you are the liaison between the animals and the people, you may have to get them out. Do you know at National Zoo, this is getting back to our evacuation thing again, all roads lead to evacuation. I made sure that I could walk all of my seals and sea lions through the public area to move them if I needed to. Did not do it with the bears. Did not do it with the wolves, but I did do it with all the seals and sea lions. Okay, are you going to try this?
Yes.
Let's do a follow-up. 4 days to a week.
Sounds good.
It would be great if you did like a little video every day and gave us a report card.
That'd be cool.
You might be done in 2 days. So just remember, the more you do at the beginning, the less you have to do later. Yeah, you know, because what you want to do is make it so you have as many opportunities for the animal to be successful as possible. So you get them outside a lot. And you bring his focus. You want to make him conscious of the act of urination. A little dog, you know, it's just like, he doesn't care about urine. He thinks it smells like dogs. That's okay. So you have to teach him to think about it differently. So the faster he makes that connection, the easier your whole job will be. Okay, we'll see you in a couple of days.
Sounds good.
Hey fans, are you enjoying Training with Casey? Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Casey Covert on YouTube. That is youtube.com/C/Casey Covert. Also, give the podcast a like, share, and comment.
Thanks for joining us. Come back for more news and views on animal training and living with animals. Stay at the top of the pack with Casey. This is Joseph Laughlin, producer of Training with Casey. See you next time.